The question we're going to be looking at this evening is, how should a Christian approach the transgender issue? Been all over the news with the issue with Target and transgender bathrooms. Those of us who live in Gainesville, that's old hat. This was taking place, what, 8 years ago, 7 years ago? We already went through all this, but the rest of the country is having all the debates on the transgender issue. So we're going to be looking at everything from how should a Christian believe concerning transgenderism and all of that, to what about boycotting stores, all of that type of stuff. And what we want to be is not people who are knee-jerk reactions. We want to be people who are grounded in the Word of God and who approach this issue with a very thoughtful, well-thought-out response. One of the greatest problems I feel among those who claim to be Christians is that we have refused to think through issues that are uncomfortable for us. And because of this, we have, by and large, lost our culture because we have not been able to give a thought-out response to things that we find to be weird or different. So what we want to do tonight is we want to study Scripture and come up with what the Scripture says so that we can give a well-thought-out response, as Peter tells us, to be able to give an answer for the hope that's within us. But also to see that this issue is a tremendous opportunity for us to share the gospel with hurting, broken people. And so what we want to do is look at the whole thing, beginning in Genesis, and go from there. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His wisdom. Our Father, Lord, we live in an increasingly confusing world, where, Father, even in my short lifetime, all the lines have been blurred. But, Father, we know that Your Word is truth and that it endures from generation to generation. Father, we would just ask that You would help us to think the way that You think, see things the way You see things, to have the love that You have, and to have the truth and judgment that You have. Father, give us an understanding of these things so that we might be the people that You called us to be. Father, following Your steps in compassion and love for the hurting and broken. Father, but also speaking the truth to a dying culture. Father, give us an understanding of these things tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to begin in Genesis 1, verse 27. When we talk about gender and all of the things that's going on, I don't know if you heard, it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was Facebook changed their, when you signed up, you could change your identity, and I think there was 47 different options for gender. It was in the 40s to 50s, different options for gender. There was male, there was female, there was trans, there was gender confused, there was gender, I can't even name them all. But it was in the 40s of different options for gender. Just this afternoon, I was checking to see any updates on the shooting down in Orlando and came across an article about a ruling in Oregon about someone who was able to change their state ID or whatever to be intersex as opposed to male or female. And that was a big court victory for them. And so when we look at this, we say, okay, where is the ground in the shifting sand? Where should we be? How should we think about this? In Genesis 1, verse 27, this is what we read. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God made man in His image, and He created male and female. As such, gender has been created by God. This is before the fall. This is when He creates everything and everything is perfect. So gender is a good creation of God. Gender is a wonderful thing. It is a good thing. And according to God, there are two genders, male and female. Now, a big misconception you'll hear from, and this goes on the homosexuality issue, this goes on all the issues, is Jesus never spoke about it, though. You go back to that old fogey Old Testament nonsense with all the wrath and the judgment, but we're Christians and we follow the teachings of Jesus. I read an article by someone who claimed to be a Christian saying, I don't know why people always judge transgenders. Jesus said nothing about transgenders. Okay, well, Jesus also said nothing about rape. He never said anything about rape. He never said anything about bestiality. He never said anything about animal abuse. There's a lot of things Jesus never said the actual words. However, in Matthew 19, Jesus is asked a question. He's asked a question about divorce. And this is the way he answers it. Matthew 19, verse 4. He answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Jesus quotes the Old Testament, what we just read, and he says there are only two genders, male and female. Now, it's important for us to because the one of the ways that the devil has convoluted our culture, and anytime you deal with a liar like the devil, you'll find that liars like to use specific language and specific words to avoid yes or no questions. I don't know if you've ever dealt with a habitual liar, but that's the way they do things. They will never answer a straight yes or no question. And so there is a big statement now is a gender identity. Okay? So I want to talk through all of those things so that we as Christians understand what the Bible speaks about when it speaks of God making male and female. Okay? Gender identity is who you conceive yourself to be. And if you want to think of yourself as a female, that's your gender identity. And if you want to think of yourself as a mountain lion, that's your whatever identity. Okay, that's what it is. When it speaks of gender identity, that's who you conceive yourself to be. Which, by the way, the Bible is going to, we're going to look at how the Bible addresses that. We're going to look at the idea of the gender identity. But there's also what we would call gender stereotypes. Okay, you see this in, you know, the gender reveal for babies. What are baby boys? Blue. What are baby girls? Pink. Where is that in the Bible? It's not. We just have the stereotype that pink is a female color, blue is a male color. Okay, that is a gender stereotype. When we begin to talk about gender, we are not talking about the color of clothes that you wear. We're not talking about how you conceive yourself to be. We're even not even talking about gender roles. When you begin to get into different theological ways of thought and different ideas there within the home and within marriage and within who can serve as pastors and all that, we're not even talking about that when we talk about gender. You see, what the devil wants to do is he wants to talk about the surface to change what's under the surface. We want to talk about the bedrock issue and then move from there. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. We, on this issue, we want to go down to the heart of the matter. When we talk about gender, we are not talking about anatomy. Okay? Plastic surgery can change anatomy. We are not talking about hormones. You can go get testosterone shots. You can go get estrogen shots. You can do all of those things. We're not talking about hormones. What we are talking about, and what the Word of God is talking about here, is chromosomes. From the moment you are conceived, you either got an XX or an XY from your dad. And that moment when there is one single cell, the DNA of that human being is determined. And from then on, that DNA cannot be changed. I was reading this article today, and I found it so interesting, because this guy who finally convinced the state of Oregon that he was intersex, who identifies kind of as a female but not really, he said this, I'm biologically male. He said that in the article. I'm like, of course you are. It's ironic to me, in our culture, if you claim to be a Christian, you are called anti-science. Okay, if you have a different theory of the origins of the universe than the theory of evolution, you are considered anti-science. If you have a different view of man-made global warming, you are considered anti-science. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing more scientific than gender. It is a simple blood test. And all the people who have changed their gender, you know, the pro athlete that decided he wanted to be a woman, if you give him a blood test, guess what he is? He's a he. He can have all the surgery he wants to, all the hormone therapy he wants to. He can dress a certain way, talk a certain way, but his DNA is male. That is not changeable. You cannot change your DNA. So when we talk about male versus female, when we talk about the issue of gender, what we are speaking of is your biological DNA chromosomes. Now, if you study medically, and you study scientifically, when the child is conceived, it's given the gender because of the chromosomes, from that then produces hormones, and from those hormones produces the anatomy, and produces different things as the child grows, like a deeper voice, facial hair, those type of things. So when we talk about those things, we want to know that we're talking about simple blood test biology. God created male and God created female. So for us as Christians, we see that as good. It is a good thing if you are genetically female, it is a good thing for you to be a woman. Being a female is not something to be despised or looked down upon. We're not Muslims. Okay, we don't look down on someone just simply because they're a woman. If you are biologically male, it is a good thing to be a man. That is a great thing. So we want to enforce that gender is a good thing. It is not something to run from. If you are biologically male, be a man. If you are biologically female, be a woman. That is a good thing, and that is a great thing. Next verse we're going to look at is in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And it says this: "The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination to the Lord." It speaks here of what is commonly called cross-dressing, where a man dresses up like a woman or a woman dresses up like a man. And God here calls that an abomination. Now, we sometimes get things in our hateful, judgmental hearts. We sometimes take verses like this and make them more than what they are supposed to be. And sometimes we take them as less than what they're supposed to be. What this is teaching us is this: if gender is a good thing, and if God has made you biologically a male, what should you strive to be? A man. That is what you should strive to be. And if God has made you biologically female, what should you strive to be? The best woman that you can be. Now, in this, though, and we're going to look at this in just a minute in Romans, we live in a broken world with broken people. And sometimes we can look at what God has done, the way God has created us to be, and we say, I don't like that. Okay? I wish I had blonde hair. I wish I had a tan. I wish I lost some weight. I wish that this body part was bigger, that one was smaller. I wish that... We all go through those issues. Okay? I don't want my hair to be gray, so we color it. Those type of things. We go through those things. And we all go through different things, and especially when you're talking about teenage years. Okay? Who did not struggle with who they were as a teenager? Okay? Especially the teenagers today very much struggle as their body is changing and they're learning to adjust and all the changes. And through all of that, people can begin to say, well, I wonder what I would be like if I was a woman, a man. And God says, don't even go down that road. Don't even pretend. Don't even look at that. Because what God has created you to be is good. And anything less than what God has created you to be is harmful and hurtful, and as such, an abomination. When you begin to look at a child, if you were to see, say, a parent that gave a child hormone shots to keep them from growing, what would you call that? You would call that evil. You would call that wicked. You would call that vile. You would call that child abuse. Why? Because you want that child to grow and to reach their full potential. And so when it speaks of this being an abomination, what it's speaking of is, one, it is a sin. Cross-dressing is a sin. Seeking to be another gender than that which God has created you to be is wrong. But it is more than just wrong in that God looks down and says, I don't like that. The reason God does not like that is self-destructive to the individual. Think of this for a minute. You know what you call gender reassignment surgery? Body mutilation. You are mutilating your body. When you go on hormone therapy to change your gender, you are literally injecting a foreign chemical into your body. And sometimes that's necessary for like chemo when you have cancer. And sometimes that may be necessary when there's something wrong with you. But it's self-destructive behavior, and God loves his creation. And God says, don't. Why? When you have a teenage girl who takes out a knife and cuts herself, we want to stop that. But when we have a grown man that asks a doctor to do that for him, we celebrate that? No. That is the mutilation of the human body. We do not want to put chemicals within our body that transform us and change us into something other than what God has created us to be. And we want to understand that beginning. For us, when we look at someone who goes and say starts being cross-dressing, well, I feel like a woman or something along those lines, what we should respond is with compassion, because that road is a dead end. That road is self-destructive. That road is going to lead to the mutilation of the human body. That road is going to lead to brokenness. It is going to lead to pain. It is going to lead to suffering. And for us who love people, that should be repulsive. I mean, no one wants to see their child, their friend, their neighbor destroy themselves. And so when we look at this, this command is not given because God is transphobic. It is given because God loves sinful people. And he knows that this path is destructive. There's a testimony back when Bruce Jenner decided he didn't want to be called Bruce anymore. I still call him Bruce because that's who he is. Whenever he went down that, there was a man who came out and who'd had gender reassignment surgery like 3 or 4 times. He'd gone back and forth and back and forth, male to female, male to female, male to female, male to female. And what he said is, he said, this is abusive. What I had was a real identity crisis. And instead of someone giving me help, they mutilated my body. And I was confused, and I was struggling, and I was hurting, and I was broken. And this did not solve it. I thought, if I could be a woman, my problems would be fixed. And they never went away. God is giving these commandments out of love. Okay? God loves his creation. And God loves hurting, confused people. And like a loving parent, he wants to direct them into what will bring about their flourishing. Romans 8, next verse on our list. Romans 8, verse 19. Paul here is talking about the broken world in which we live. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Lord willing, after our anniversary celebration, our homecoming, I'm going to take a little break from John, and I'll be preaching about human brokenness. We're talking about this a lot. We're going to be going over some of the same stuff again on Sunday morning, because it's very important for us to understand. We live in a broken world. We do. And even the XY, XX chromosomes sometimes gets broken. It is very rare. But sometimes it breaks. Sometimes children are born with 9 fingers as opposed to 10. That happens. Sometimes people are born with not perfect anatomy. I try to say it in a nice way. That happens. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken world that is broken because of the fall. So that we are born many times with birth defects. We are born sometimes with heart defects. There are genetic mutations, genetic effects. That is just part of the world in which we live in. There are people born with disabilities. There are people born this way. And we as Christians should acknowledge this, because this, in the book of Romans here, is part of the presentation of the gospel, is this is not the way the world is supposed to be, and it's not this way because of sin, and Jesus Christ delivers from sin. And so when we look at this whole transgender issue, and people bring up the genetic brokenness, that is a good segue into the gospel. And sometimes we blow that through judgment, through knee-jerk reactions. But what we have to acknowledge is that our world is broken. And people, because of the physical brokenness, and because of the fall, and because of the sin nature, not only is our world broken through the fall, but it's also broken by other people. People get abused. People get abandoned. People get hurt. Let me tell you a couple stories I know for myself personally. There was a young man I used to go to church with back when I was a youth pastor. And he had certain characteristics that we would describe as female. And he was picked on a lot. Come to find out through talking with him, his dad had custody of him. That's because his mother lost custody of him for abusing him. And part of the abuse is she injected him with estrogen. That's what his own mother did to him. And so people would look at this man and make fun of him because in certain ways he looked like a woman. Because he was abused by his mother. That should cause us as Christian people not to recoil in horror from that young man, but to embrace that young man with the love of Christ. Now, he hasn't decided to come out as a woman or anything like that. He still goes to church, loves the Lord, all those things. But we as Christians need to understand that sometimes that brokenness that we see where someone says, I don't know whether I'm a boy or a girl, is because of abuse that was perpetrated upon them. And sometimes we neglect to see that. Many times a young lady may have been abused by someone, by an uncle, by a father, and say, you know what, being a girl is being vulnerable, and I don't want to be vulnerable, I don't want to be a woman. And sometimes we look with judgment upon that person as opposed to compassion. We live in a broken world where people are abused, where people are abandoned, where people are used, sexually assaulted, and cast aside. And you know what happens many times? These kids being raised in this atmosphere become very confused with what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong, who am I? Why are people that love me inflicting so much pain on me? I'll tell you another one. A guy I went to high school with. He was picked on because he was very effeminate. I have never in my life seen a man this effeminate. He literally walked like a woman, sat like a woman, talked like a woman, and moved his hands like a woman. And when I first met him, I was going, oh my goodness, what is wrong with this guy? He was abandoned by his father and raised by women. All he'd ever seen was a woman walk. All he'd ever heard was a man and was a woman talk. And he's a great Christian man today. Went to seminary. Loves the Lord. But that is someone who very easily could fall into a trap. Why? He had never seen what it meant to be a man. The only thing he knew about being a man is that a man abuses your mother and leaves her. And we so often lose sight of that. You know, I know of someone who claims to be transgender. I know of people who have struggled with this issue. Many times, not always, but many times they were abused. They were abandoned. They were neglected. They were hurt. They were rejected. They were picked on. That happens. And the Christian response should not be to recoil in horror, but to go to them and share with them the love of Christ. We need to remember this, that we are dealing with broken people. That's what we're dealing with. Think of it this way. If you got in your car and you put it in reverse and it went forward, and then you put it in drive and it went backwards, what would you say? There's something wrong with my car. It's broken. And would you take a shotgun and shoot it? No. You take it to a mechanic so it could be fixed. When you see someone that says, you know what, I identify as a woman even though I'm biologically male, or I identify as a male even though I'm biologically female, what you're looking at is a broken person. And that is a tremendous opportunity to share with them of the great physician who heals broken people, who mends broken hearts that have been abused and abandoned. But so often the church has recoiled in horror and said, that's disgusting. That's perverse. And in many respects, it is perverse. But you have to understand that many of these people are broken, hurting people. And the reason they cry so loudly for acceptance is because they've never been loved, and they think if society lets me put this on my driver's license, then the void within my soul will be filled. And the answer is no, it will never be. You were created in the image of God. You were created for His glory. And until you glorify Him as what He has created you to be, you will always be empty. No surgery, no hormones, no whichever bathroom you go into will satisfy the longing of the soul. And this is where, for us as Christians, we have a tremendous opportunity. Look at Jesus in John 4. This is Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. A woman, by the way, that most of us would run from. Come on, this is an adulterous woman. She's going to steal your husband. Jesus, don't you know what type of woman this is? This is not the type of woman you talk to. This is the type of woman that you call bad names and run from. But notice what Jesus says to her. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, what is he saying? You don't understand what God can do for you. If you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. The woman says to her, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? She is looking for something physical to satisfy. And what is Jesus talking about? Something that is spiritual. She is looking for some satisfaction in this world, in this life, in the culture, in society. But what is wrong with the woman? Well, adultery. No. The adultery is the symptom. What is the problem? An empty soul. She is thirsty. Keep reading. She says, are you greater than our father Jacob? Yes, he is. Who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, speaking of the well, will thirst again. Listen to me. There is no satisfaction by the whole world celebrating you and putting you on the cover of the magazine because now you're a woman. You will still be just as empty. Please understand that. The woman that decides that she was born the wrong gender and she needs to be a man, and then she gets to walk in the men's room at whatever restaurant or whatever store, that will not satisfy the hole within her soul. It won't. To go and have some surgery and to go get makeup done, hair done, and to look in and see the beautiful woman that you wanted to be will not satisfy your soul. And we need to understand this. And we need to understand that the push that is taking place within our society, yes, is it demonic and evil? Yes, yes, yes. But you know what it is? It is thirsty people drinking out of the toilet. And they think, one more drink and I will be satisfied. If I can get the government to mandate I can go in whatever bathroom I want to, I'll be satisfied. You know what? You won't. Because it's going to take a whole lot more than going in the men's room or going in the ladies' room to satisfy your soul. Well, if I can get it on my driver's license, you'll still be just as empty. If I can get my birth certificate changed, you'll still be just as empty. If I can get everyone to celebrate me, you will still be just as empty. You were made for God, not to be a woman or a male. You were created for God's glory, to be what He has created you to be what He has designed you to be. That is where you will find satisfaction, in living for Christ the way that He has described you, the way He has determined for you to be. We are dealing with people like the woman at the well. You know what? I'm empty. Maybe if I put on a woman's dress, I'll be satisfied. Oh, that was fun. But you know what? A couple of days later, you're empty. Well, maybe if I grow my hair out. Maybe if I put on makeup. Maybe if I... You know what? It's just not working. I need surgery. Surgery's not enough. I need hormones. That's not enough. I need the world to celebrate me. The world celebrates. That's not enough. I need bathroom ordinance. I need... It never ends. Just like the woman at the well. You know what? I need a guy that's richer. You know what? She marries a richer guy. You know what? I need a guy that's younger. She marries a younger guy. You know what I need? I need a guy that looks better. She marries a guy that's good looking. You know what? The problem is not the man that you're marrying. The problem is the soul is empty. And again, this is where I feel that we as Christians have blown it. Because instead of saying, we have an answer for you, and that is Jesus Christ, we have gone nuts on, oh, these bunch of perverts and pedophiles. And we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that. But our response should have been the way Jesus was with the woman at the well. I understand that you are confused. I understand that you are hurting. Let me tell you of the one who will satisfy. hormones. Listen, you can inject yourself with cocaine and you can inject yourself with testosterone, and the end result is the same. You're still empty. It doesn't matter. What you need is Christ. And what these hurting people need is Jesus Christ. And we so often have been the type of people that have hidden the water from them and yelled at them for being thirsty. You do understand that so much of the transgender issue is because these are broken people who are thirsty and are starving, and we have the food for their soul, and that is Christ. And we should respond with love and with compassion to hurting, broken people. Look at the next passage. Genesis 3:4. This is the snake lying to the woman. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil." What is the lie the snake told the woman? You can become God. This is the danger of gender identity. We're not talking about hormone replacement therapy. We're talking about gender identity. That you can declare yourself to be whatever you want to be. No, you're not God. I find it so frustrating that if you have a different view on something that's supposedly scientific, you're anti-science. But if you look at someone who has a simple blood test, the simple blood test comes back as male, which, by the way, goes across the spectrum for every animal. You get any biology textbook and look at birds, they'll say, this is what the male cardinal looks like, this is what the female cardinal looks like, because they're different. Okay, you go wildlife, you get from the Fish and Wildlife Commission on hunting. You know what? There's different requirements. You can only shoot male turkeys. You can't shoot female turkeys. Well, what if the turkey identifies differently? That's nuts. Okay, you are not God. And you cannot look in the mirror and declare yourself to be something other than what you are. Now, this is something that Christians, I feel like we have not looked at this issue the right way, because sometimes we do the same thing. That instead of saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am, we look in the mirror and say, my goodness, what a great man. Sorry, you're a sinner, and you're not God, you don't get to declare yourself to be so great. And what we need to tell our society is, look, your opinion of yourself is not greater than biology. You are not God. Our society screams, you can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. You can decide that you can swim like a fish and you will drown. And you can say you can fly like a bird and you will splat on the concrete. You are not God. And that's something that we have to really emphasize. This is the whole thing with the gender identity. Look, it doesn't. I'll tell you this. I watched a TV show back years ago. It was one of those cop shows, and there was this. In the cop show, there was this LSD outbreak, and there was this guy standing there and said, "I'm a tree. I'm a tree." And you know what they said? There's something wrong with this guy. He must be high. But now our society sees a man saying, "I'm a woman. I'm a woman," and they say, "Oh, he's a woman." This should cause us to look with compassion, to look on someone and say, no, you're not God. That is a lie. You can't determine what you are just because you want to be that. God rules in heaven. He has made you for His glory. He loves you. Your body is not something to be hated. Who you are is not something to be mutilated. God has made you perfectly and wonderfully in His image. And that is something that you can learn through the grace of Jesus Christ to celebrate. We need to understand this and we need to teach this. You're not God. If you want to identify as the President of the United States, that just makes you wrong. That makes you wrong. If you want to identify as something other than what you are, we as Christians are about reality. We're about what you see is what you are. It is what it is. And Jesus Christ is the hope for the hurting, broken people. Romans 1. Why is this even an issue? Romans 1, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over a reprobate mind, notice this, to do those things which are not convenient. Notice that again. To do those things which are not convenient. How completely inconvenient and absurd is it for a man to decide he's a woman and go through all the surgery, new wardrobe, hormone treatment, all of those things? This is a sign of a broken society that has rejected God. This should not surprise Christians. This is not something we go, oh my goodness, I never saw this coming. Read Romans 1, you're going to see a lot worse. We live in a society that has rejected God and said, you are your own God, you can be whatever you declare yourself to be. This shouldn't surprise us. And so it speaks through all of these things, the unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. This is, in verse 32, describes this issue. Who knowing the judgment of God, what has God declared? God has declared that a man should be a man and dress like a man and act like a man. A woman should be a woman, dress like a woman, act like a woman. Knowing that's God's judgment. But they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do them, but have pleasure. In other words, we celebrate the hurt and the brokenness. This is one of the most unloving things you can do. I remember recently reading a story of a young lady who, I think she was convicted of manslaughter or even maybe murder because her boyfriend was suicidal and she encouraged him to kill himself. I mean, it was disgusting reading some of the text messages. Why are you texting me? You don't have the courage to go ahead and do it already? And she was tried and convicted for contributing to his death. Why? Because if someone is suicidal, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to love them, you're supposed to reach out to them, and you're supposed to beg and plead with them not to do it. You what our society has done? It has taken self-destructive behavior and said, go for it. Go for it. And we will celebrate you. We will make you woman of the year. We'll do all of these things. And Christian people should be saying, no. We love that man too much to celebrate this. We love that young lady way too much than to encourage them in self-destructive behavior. Because what it results in is body mutilation. Mutilating the human body. And it is not love to encourage someone to do that. And to celebrate that. That is not love. But our society, like Romans 1, has decided to celebrate those things. It was written down, by the way, 2,000 years ago, this type of stuff would be taking place. And we as Christians, as opposed to bemoaning what is happening in our society, should begin to go back to Romans 1 and say, okay, Lord, what's next? How can we prepare for it to help the loving, broken people in our society? I want to move on from this to talk about, so what about, you know, transgenders and the ladies' room and all of those things? Psalm 127, verse 3 may seem a verse that's really out of place, but it's not. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What this means is God has entrusted your children to you. Please hear me on this. It is not the government's responsibility to protect your child from being molested. That is your responsibility as a parent. It is not the responsibility of a business owner to protect your child. That is your responsibility. And as much as I disagree with some of the things taking place in businesses and taking place within our government, my children are not going to be going in any restroom by themselves because they are my children and it's my responsibility to protect them. And I'm not going to blame a store owner. Okay? And we as Christians need to take responsibility for our own children. By the way, your child has probably a greater chance of being molested in the same gender bathroom. Okay, there are possibly, they don't have the statistics on it, so you can't really say for sure. It is very high probability that there are some transgender people that are pedophiles. But you know what most pedophiles are? Uncles? Cousins? And for us to go nuts on this issue, yet not address the sexual assault that takes place in churches on a continual basis is pure hypocrisy. Listen, your child can be assaulted in the nursery of a Baptist church. It's one of the reasons why we don't do that. We encourage children to be with their parents. Why? Because you're responsible for the well-being of your kids. Listen, we're going to talk about boycotting stores here in just a minute, how Christians should look at boycotts. But before it ever gets to boycotts, when you go anywhere or your child is going anywhere, you need to know where they are, who they're going to be with, and you need to take a personal responsibility to protect your own children. That includes at church, that includes at the playground, that includes whatever schooling choice you have made for your children, that includes whatever bathroom you may go into, that includes wherever they may be. This is why for my children, we don't do sleepovers. And you can say, I'm ruining my children's childhood. I'm okay with that. But it's my responsibility to protect my kids. We don't do sleepovers. Okay, we recently put a baby gate up. And when we have people over to our home, you know what? There are no children going in bedrooms. You play in the living room. Why? Because your child has a greater chance of getting molested in your own home than in the Target bathroom. And I want to say that up front. Because we can live in an illusion that if only boys go in boys' rooms and only girls go in girls' rooms, that there's not going to be any molestation. And that's just simply not true. Okay? We have got to take responsibility for our own kids. Now, I don't think that the government has the authority to dictate to a private business owner what he does in his business. And I think that we as Christians should support private businesses saying, you know what? We'll put whatever sign we want to on our restrooms. Thank you very much. And I don't think the government, I think it's a usurpation of authority for the government to dictate, as Gainesville did, that you have to let certain people in certain bathrooms. It's a private business. Okay? I think that's a complete usurpation of governmental authority. I'll be open with that. I don't agree with that. However, I'm not going to sit and complain and just watch my children go into the bathroom by themselves. They're my children. I'm going to protect them. I want to say that because the safety of our children is a priority. And what I see a lot of conservative Christian people doing is getting angry at the government as opposed to saying, I would protect my children. I want to make sure that's very clear. So then the question comes, okay, we should have compassion on hurting people. We should protect our children. We should share the gospel with those. We live in a broken world with people who are struggling, people who are buying the lie that they can be God and declare things however they want to be. Well, what do we do when a private business says, anybody can use whatever restroom of the gender they identify with? Do we boycott those stores? What is our approach supposed to be? So there was a video of some lady that went into Target yelling and screaming, y'all are all going to die and go to hell and all this type of things. Is that the response that we need to make? I read of somebody who went and sat down and talked to the manager of one of the stores and said, you know, his family wouldn't be doing business there. People signed boycotts. How should we as Christians approach that? Turn to Romans 14 on your sheet. Romans 14, verse 10. He's speaking here of meat sacrificed to idols. He's speaking of celebrating certain holidays. And he says this, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? If we were all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. So then every one of us will give an account of himself. Notice that. You will answer to God for you. To a God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now you walk not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. He's speaking of celebrating holidays and eating meat. The Bible says absolutely nothing about boycotting stores. Anywhere. However, if that bothers your conscience and you don't want to give those people money, then don't. That is your prerogative as a Christian person. And honestly, in a free market, kind of free market, not as free as it used to be, market that we live in, that is one of the greatest leverages you, the consumer, has against this type of action. You just vote with your pocketbook. Okay, many stores have been put out of business, and I feel this is where Christians, again, have had a wrong view of government. Listen, if I know of a store that won't serve black people, I will not do business there. I don't need the government to come in and force them to do that. That is repulsive to me. And I would encourage everyone I know to not do business with a store like that. If I knew a store that wouldn't hire someone or wouldn't pay people, I would not do business with that. I say there's a store, I won't name the store just for reasons, but there's a store that sells things that I'm interested in, and I get emails from them with different coupons and stuff. And I got one from the owner of the store saying my employees were complaining because they were working such long hours and my store is being closed early for my employees. Sorry if that inconvenienced you, but I'm taking care of my employees. I do more business here. Why? Because he takes care of his employees. We as Christian people should be socially conscious in that regards. Okay? The way many times we can influence stores is through our money. However, here's the thing. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not shop at Target. And it doesn't say, thou shalt not shop at a store that has a different view on bathrooms than what the Bible says. So, if you want to shop at Target, that's between you and the Lord. You pray about it, and you do that. However, if you know of other people that don't like shopping at Target, don't get them stuff from Target for their baby shower. That might be offensive to them. Okay, that's just what it says. And if it bothers you to shop at Target, then don't. If it bothers you to shop at another store, then don't shop there. But if you're driving past and you see somebody in our church running into Target, don't judge them. Why? You have no Bible verse. Zero. You can't condemn them. You may disagree with them, and you may want to lobby them and say, hey, you do realize what they're doing here. And this goes for any business, by the way, not just Target. They're just the ones that are getting the brunt of it. Okay, this goes for Starbucks and other ones too. But here's the thing. We are not supposed to judge one another where the Bible is silent. Notice what it says in verse 17. I love this because this is the conclusion. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Okay, what makes you a Christian is not what stores you shop at and what stores you boycott. Okay, remember that. God does not have a special crown for people who only shop at certain stores. Okay, that's not biblical. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But it is following what God has actually said in His Word. It is walking with the Lord. It is the joy and peace of walking with the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to boycotting stores, I think it's a very effective way of correcting things that we disagree with. Just don't give them your money. Honestly, there's places that I would not want to shop because I don't want them to have my money. But if you want to shop there, that's between you and the Lord. And I will not judge you and I will not condemn you. And I would ask that wherever you see me shop, you don't condemn me either. However, Mark 16:15, go ye to all the world. And I love the King James. I don't want to be insensitive here, but I love the way the King James puts it. Preach the gospel to every creature. What is it? Male, female? It doesn't matter. It's a created being that bears the image of God, that is worthy of our love, sharing the gospel with them. Please remember that. Okay? We live in a crazy world in crazy times. But the response of Christians in any of these crises, and any of these things, and any of these things that make headlines, and all these things that we disagree with, don't like, whatever, as opposed to sitting down and saying, woe is me, the world that I know is disappearing, we need to say, we have the answer for hurting people. And whether that person wants to call themselves genderqueer, whatever that means, is irrelevant. Jesus Christ loves them. And the answer is not for me to embrace their lifestyle choice. The issue is that I must share with them the love of Christ, because that is what is wrong. That is what is wrong. This is a hurting, broken person that only Jesus Christ can heal. I'm not going to embrace the lifestyle. I'm not going to encourage the lifestyle. I'm going to share with them the love of Christ. That should be the response of Christian people. And does that mean that we shouldn't lobby our government to change laws and stuff? No, I'm not speaking about that. That is good. That is right. Quite honestly, I think a lot of the government's quote-unquote laws, which is just flat out ignore, because they're wrong. They don't have the authority to do some of the things they do. However, if we get so caught up in what our president declared or what this order there, that we no longer love people and share the gospel with them, we've lost. And we've lost far more than our culture. We need to go into all the world and share the good news that Jesus Christ loves hurting, broken, confused, abandoned, neglected people. And we need to show the love of Christ to them and point them to the one who can bring the healing that they need.